Hey y'all, it's Stephanie at Root to Seed. In this episode, we'll be discussing starting seeds indoors. What supplies you might need, how to have the best success, and how we can help you. But first, I want to tell you our news. Since our last episode, we've been very busy with tea orders, but I can't say we're surprised considering how chilly it's been around here. You can find a variety of whole leaf tea blends in the shop at www.roottoseedonline.com. In addition, Sebastian, my son and webmaster for Seb's Spot on our website, has started his own podcast. It's called Profound Political, and it's a fresh take on what's in the news, and it can be found on all your favorite platforms. I'll be right back to talk about starting seeds inside. The home gardener can grow most annuals and biennials from seed. Sowing seeds at home is less expensive than buying established plants, and no fancy equipment is needed. Also, plants started indoors actually flower sooner than those started outdoors, and you can decide to sow seeds you may not readily find in garden centers. For example, our mystery crop, we knew we weren't going to find meat squash plants at the nursery, so we're sure to start those seeds indoors. Your seeds will have a great deal of success if you're using good quality seeds from a reliable supplier. Choose seeds that are known to do well in your area as well. Remember, we'll be selling seeds very soon, so keep your ears open for that. Their environment must be set up for germination. For germination, you need water, oxygen, light, and heat. The seed packet will define for you what the plant needs to grow. First, water. A continuous supply of moisture without affecting the growing medium helps to ensure germination. We water under the plants in the tray. Once the first true leaves emerge, we use a spray bottle. I find it's just less of a mess that way. Light will either stimulate or inhibit germination. Some plants require light to help germinate. Others do best in the dark or with no specific light requirement. When planting seeds that need light, don't bury them. If they're covered at all, cover them lightly with peat moss to allow some light to reach the seeds. Using fluorescent lights or grow lights can supplement light needs. They should be suspended 6 to 12 inches above the seeds for about 18 hours a day. Seeds breathe, and their respiration increases quite a lot during germination, as you can imagine how difficult it must be to become a plant from that seed. So the growing medium must be loose and well aerated. If the air supply should become limited or reduced, germination will be inhibited. This might happen if the growing medium was to become too wet. Seeds have a wide range of temperatures that can result in germination, but usually there's an optimum temperature to reach. Generally, a range of 65 to 75 degrees is best for most plants. Tomatoes will germinate between 50 and 95 degrees, but its optimal temperature is 80. Usually, one must place the flats in special areas, like on a radiator or heating cables or heating mats, to keep the ideal temperature. We use heating mats because they're inexpensive and they're safe. I'll return in just a few seconds to discuss growing mediums. A good germination medium should be fine, uniform, well aerated, and loose. It should not contain insects, disease, or weed seeds. It should also be capable of holding and moving moisture. You can purchase seed starting mix, or you can easily make it at home. It's simply equal parts of peat moss and perlite. Both of those ingredients are inexpensive and readily available substances. Do not use soil from your yard or garden, as it may have weeds or diseases, and that they tend to become compacted when they're wet. As far as containers, you may find plastic flats, trays, cell packs, and pots for starting seed. Just like your planting medium, this is another thing you can make yourself, should you choose to. You can use recycled plastic food containers or the bottoms of milk cartons. To ensure proper drainage, you'll want to be sure to create holes in the container of your choice. You may also find peat pellets and peat pots or blocks, which easily turns the growing medium into the container. These types of containers help to reduce the risk of root injuries when you're ready to transplant. They're also useful to plants who may have delicate root systems. We usually use celled trays, but we're growing a larger amount of plants than you might be. This year, I got some clear cell containers, so for the first time, I'll be able to see what goes on under the soil. It's very exciting. With all that settled, you can begin to plant your seeds. The right time for doing this depends on when you can safely transplant to outdoors. Remember, back in episode 2 when we talked about growing zones and frost dates, this will be a reference point for transplanting. This may mean you plant your seed between 4 and 12 weeks before your transplant date. This will also depend on the germination speed, the rate of growth, and the conditions of the growing environment. Timing is key, though. A common mistake is sowing too many seeds too early and attempting to hold the seedling for too long. This will likely just result in tall, weak, stressed plants that will not do well once in the garden. Once all of this is settled, you'll fill your chosen container to within about a third of a fourth of an inch from the top of your growing medium. Use your fingers to firm the medium to create a uniform flat surface. You can also use a wooden block for this. The kind that children would use that have the alphabet letters on them are actually perfect. Most seeds should be planted at a depth of about twice their diameter. Don't cover very small seeds. Really, you just need to press them into the medium or water them with a fine mist spray. I usually plant 2 seeds into each cell for larger seeds. After germination, I'll thin them, allowing the strongest seedling to grow. It took me a long time to really remove the weaker seedling because I thought I was killing a plant or wasting a seed, so I would end up with way too many plants, half of them slightly thin and crooked and not really strong enough to transplant. I have since learned my lesson and will remove or thin the weaker seedlings as they become present. After you've sown your seeds, wet the planting mix using a fine mist spray. Avoid any splashing or hard spraying or flooding, which could displace the small seeds. This time in a seedling's life is a delicate dance to obtain and retain the correct moisture. Uniform moisture is the key to good germination and strong growth. However, I don't really have time for a moisture dance all day, so I use the clear plastic lids that come with the flats or put the whole tray or container in an open clear plastic bag. If you use these methods, keep the plastic at least 1.5 inches from the soil and keep the tray out of direct sunlight so they don't cook. All covering should be removed once the first seedling leaves appear. I'll be back in just a few seconds to discuss transplanting and hardening off. If you chose to use individual containers or cells, the seedlings must be transplanted to give them the space to grow they need. I learned again through my own mistakes that if you try to skip this step and go right to hardening, you'll have a leggy, weak plant that will not fare well. Now I'm sure to do the transplanting. The right time for this is when you see the first true leaves. These are usually the second set of leaves on the plants. To transplant, you're going to dig up the small plants carefully. I usually use a knife or a wooden plant marker. Let the group of seedlings fall apart and pick out the individual plants. Ease them apart gently into small groups. This will make it easier to separate the individual plants. Make an effort to not tear the roots while you're doing this process. Handle these small seedlings by their leaves, not by the delicate stem. You know how new moms are afraid of the fragility of their babies, but we know that the babies are actually stronger than they might think? Seedlings are not. They must be handled with care. Create a hole in the medium for the seedling at whatever depth it was growing in the seed flat. For smaller plants or those that grow slowly, they can be placed at about 1 inch apart, while faster growers or larger seeds are about 2 inches apart. After everybody's transplanted, firm the soil and gently water. Keep these transplants from excessive amounts of direct sunlight or heat for a few days after transplanting. Most plants will transplant well. Some will require careful handling due to their delicate root systems, and some plants just should never be transplanted. And those are usually root vegetables, like carrots or parsnips, whose taproot will be severely damaged by transplanting. They should be directly seeded outdoors after your last frost date. After the transplanting adventure, the seedlings are hungry. Nutrients should be given in the form of fertilizer. Beware of commercial seed mixes because they'll have fertilizers right in them and you don't want to add additional fertilizers, so be sure to read the bag. Compost-based mixes will also contain enough nutrients for the plants, but more mix should be added when you're transplanting. And if you're using neither of these, you'll need to add a supplemental nutrient. Houseplant fertilizer can be used weekly. We use worm compost tea, and soon we'll have a fresh batch for sale at our website. Don't forget that young seedlings are easily damaged by too much fertilizer, especially if they're under any kind of stress. Your seedlings should look sturdy and dark green. Symptoms that they may not be getting all of what they need could include pale yellow foliage, leaves that aren't supposed to be purple, but they're turning purple, and bright yellow-green veins. Any of those mean that you should be providing the plant with more nutrients or a higher rate of application. The final step is hardening off, which is the process of acclimating the plants so they can withstand the changes in environmental conditions that occur when they're moved from a protective environment like your home or the greenhouse to a cold frame or your garden. The outdoors will present with a variety of stressors, especially early in the season. Wind, temperature extremes, lower relative humidity, and drastic changes in watering and light as compared to what was indoors. Any or all of these stressors may stunt plants or even kill them. This hardening process exposes the plants to these stresses gradually instead of all of a sudden. In my opinion, the hardening off stage is potentially the most stressful stage because you're bringing your babies outside into that harsher weather and you really want them to survive and be strong. So this is a time to use the most detail and the most care when doing this part of the process. You can start hardening the plants about 1 to 2 weeks before planting in the garden. If possible, plants should be moved to a 45 to 50 degree indoor space or to a shady location outside. We use a ventilated cold frame, but a shelter with a shade cloth could work well, and that's very simple to create. At first, the plants will be in the shade, and then they'll gradually be moved into the sunlight for short periods each day, gradually increasing how long they're exposed. On windy days, or when temperatures are below 45 degrees, reduce the frequency of watering to slow growth. Be sure not to reduce it so much that the plant wilts. Even plants labeled as cold hardy will be hurt if exposed to freezing temperatures before they're hardened. After proper hardening, they can be planted outside and light frost will not damage them. Okay, these are the basic steps for starting seeds indoors. If you still have questions, feel free to contact us. We'll be happy to help. In addition, becoming a Root to Seed member for only $15 a year get you some great resources, including the member-only blog page, which has blogs on seed starting, companion planting, and planting schedules in case you forget anything you heard here today. In our next episode, we'll discuss why organic growing and eating is important and how growing your own food makes this affordable. If you have questions you'd like answered during the episode, contact us and we'll be sure to answer those questions for you. Until next time, be kind to the earth. Be kind to each other and join our community.